stand and we'll read our text. We're going to read... We're not going to read all the verses. Fifty-six verses in this chapter. Chapter 33. Okay, let's start in verse 1, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but we'll start with verses 1 through 2 here, and then we'll skip somewhere. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. And then he chronicles their journeys from when they left Egypt all the way until they're about to go into the land of promise. So there's 40 years worth of journeys and wanderings here. Now I want you to skip all the way down to verse 50. He says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying..." So here's at the end of the journeys. They're in the plains of Moab, and they're about to go into the land of promise. So it's like he's giving the final marching orders to go into the promised land. Let's continue. Verse 51. "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places." How many of the images, and how many of the high places, and how many? It's all. God says, do it all. Get rid of all of it. Verse 53, "And ye shall dispose of the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribe of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not..." Now this is very important here, verse 55. "If you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be," note these words, "pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them." So God's driving the inhabitants of the land out. Why? Because they are being judged. It's not just that God is dispossessing the land because he's making room for the children of Israel. The inhabitants are being judged because of their pagan denial of the true and living God. So they're being judged, and God is using Israel to bring that judgment. But here's what God says: if you don't do as I have said and clean out the land, then the judgment that I meant to bring to them will come to you. And so it's a warning. But our title came from the pricks in the eyes. The pricks in the eyes. Let's keep that in mind. I have two more titles. Let me give those to you. I always have a couple extras just to throw a twist there. But also, go home and purge. Go home and purge. And then my second subtitle here is, if God said remove it, then don't let it stay around. If God said remove it, then don't let it stay around. That's our second subtitle. Let's pray. Father, again, we pray your blessings on the message. Help our hearts to be open and to be touched by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, God wants us to move forward. I think sometimes we need to be reminded that God can move us forward. Sometimes the direction that God's leading us to go, we feel like we'll never get there. We heard testimony tonight already that God this year has already done things in my life that I've been wanting to see him do for a long time. Well, we can all say that. as we walk faithful to God and do the things He wants us to do. He guides us. He says, I want you to move forward. I want you to be strong. I want you to overcome. And he gives us strength to do that. But I think sometimes we feel like it's not really possible. It's hard. I found this article. It was pretty funny. And so I brought it. I'm going to bring it to you here. There were several men that were locked in a golf club closet. Just sort of a series of circumstances got these guys locked in this closet. And a cell phone rang, and one of the guys picked up the phone, and the one on the other end of the lines, the man said hello, and the woman said, "Honey, it's me. Are you at the club?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "I'm at the mall now, and I found this beautiful leather coat, and it's only $1,000. I was wondering if I could buy it." He said, "Sure, go ahead, if you like it that much." And the woman then said, "Also, I stopped at the Mercedes dealership, and I saw a new 2021 model, and I really liked it." And he said, "Well, how much is it?" And she said, "Well, it's about $65,000. And he said, "Okay, but for that price, we want to make sure it has all the options on it." And she says, "Great. And there's one more thing. Remember that house we always wanted? Well, it just came back on the market, and I stopped by, and they're asking $950,000 for it." And he said, "Well, go ahead and give them the offer, but we're only going to offer $900,000. And she says, "Okay, see you later. I love you." And then he says, "Bye, I love you too." And the man hangs up, and all the other guys in the room are looking at him with astonishment. And then he asks this question: "Does anybody know whose cell phone this is?" You know, I laughed at that too. I loved that. You know, everything that he said yes to, I mean, he didn't really have a problem saying yes to it because, I mean, it wasn't his money, right? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say yes to some of those things? We'll take that and parallel it to our walk with God. Wouldn't it be nice to be able just to say yes to a victorious Christian living? The promised land. Be able to say, "Yes, God, you want me to do this? I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll be at the altar tonight. I know, no holding back. God touched me. I'm at the altar." Wouldn't it be nice if we just, every time, just said yes? So I think we can relate to this. Yeah, if it's somebody else, if it's somebody else's life, if it's somebody else's situation, if somebody else needing to say yes, then we can say yes for them. In fact, we could say, absolutely, it's the best decision you'll ever make to say yes to God. But when it comes to us, reservations, and we struggle. You know, listen, tonight I want you to know that it's my desire that I would learn to say yes to the Lord. That I would learn to be able to trust Him, to be able to trust His path, to be able to trust what He's doing in my life. So when He leads and He says, "I want you to get this out of your life. I want you to remove this. I want you to get this out of your path," that I would say yes to the Lord, no questions asked, and trust Him with the process. I want that for myself. But I want that for you too. It was time for Israel to go into the promised land. And God gave them the marching orders. He told them, "I wanted you to go into the land and to remember what I've done bringing you up until now. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I presented to you the promised land, and I even asked you to send out spies. They brought back the evil report. 10 of them did. And then now you had to wander in the wilderness for those 40 years. But you've gone through the wanderings. You've went through this, you know, this sort of a time of being separated from the promised land living that God designed for you. And now it's time to move into the land." God wants them to move forward, and God wants us to move forward. Miss Marilyn moved yesterday. Now listen, it wasn't easy for her. It's not easy for me. I had a sad feeling all morning thinking about that we didn't have somebody playing the organ. And I missed her. But this is a move forward for her. And sometimes God, listen, sometimes God moves us. And the reason He's moving us is because He wants us to move forward. Now, does it always mean there's a location change? No, it's against, nobody's allowed to make location changes, amen? No, what, exactly, including the preacher. I always say the same thing, be where God wants you to be, and I mean that. But I think that it is noteworthy to say that if we're going to move forward for God, if we're going to become what God wants us to become, then it will require us to make changes. You can't remain the same and become different. You can't keep doing what you're doing, but expect different results. If you want victory, if you want promised land living, then you're going to need to be willing to make some changes. Israel needed to be able to say yes. They needed to be able to say, God, you're leading me into the land. I'm going to go into the land, and you want me to destroy the inhabitants? You want me to remove and take out of the way some of those inhabitants, meaning those that were pagan and those that would lead us in the wrong direction? But not just like in a conquest way, but also the possessions of the land, the idols. God said, I want you to do away with the idols. I want you to do away with the pictures. I want you to do away with all of those things that will, you know, become a part of your life and distract you and move you away from what God wants you to do. Look at verse number 52. Then shall you drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you and destroy their pictures, destroy their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Verse 53, look at this. He says, and ye shall dispose the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. And then look what he says. For I have given you the land to possess it. So God had given them the land. God had given them the promise of the victorious Christian living. And he's given you and I that same thing as well. He's given you and me the promise of a victorious Christian living. And so as we go into possess the land, as we go into become what God desires us to become, we need to know the promise is there, but it's going to require us to break some things down. It's going to require us to pull some pictures down, to pull some graven images down, and to pull some high places down that are a part of our life. If you're going to become what God wants you to become, then it means you have to be willing to change. And the struggle is not that we don't want to change and not that we don't believe it's the right thing. If it's somebody else, we'll say, yes, Lord, yes, for someone else. The struggle is when it's us. And we wonder if we can do it. Cleaning house is frustrating. I always use the illustration in my soul winning lesson number one when I talk about creation is very organized and orderly. Church is at 6 o'clock and we all showed up at 6 o'clock. How did that happen? Because the universe that we live in is very structured and organized, designed by God so that the earth rotates on an axis and it's so precise that we can tell time to the split second, and we all showed up at 6 o'clock tonight because God is the designer of everything and he does everything decently and in order, and we say amen to that. But that doesn't mean your house is clean. It doesn't mean you're ready for Thanksgiving. Those of you who are having family over, amen. You got some clean. Those. How many of you are having family over your house? Oh, I'm stepping on toes tonight. You got some cleaning to do, don't you? You're in trouble. I have a feeling you're going to be involved with that too. So, you know, we clean things up. Why? Well, we want it to be presentable. Well, think about this. In life, God wants us to be not just presentable. He wants us to be usable. And to become what He wants us to become, it means that we have to clean house. We have to be willing to clean house. If we don't change, if we're not willing to clean things up and to get things out, to move things out, to strip things down, to kick them out, then we're not going to become what He wants us to become. And so that's what's happening in our passage here. God is bringing this command to Israel that they might possess the land and be blessed by God. But listen, there's a warning there. If you don't kick the things out, if you don't strip the things down, if you don't cast the false gods out of the land, then they'll possess you. They'll take you over. They'll strip you down. They'll pull you down. They'll pull you in and pull you away from God. And what will end up happening to you is what God designed to happen to them. The judgment will come, but it won't come on just them. It'll come on you because you've denied the Lord. And you know, God desires us to change. He desires us to remove things from our life. I've seen it happen over and over and over through the years. Not only in my own life, I tell you, I've been driving down the road. I remember when I was 17 years old, I wasn't fully surrendered to God. Driving down the road in my little stick shift car, I miss that little car. And I could make the wheels chirp, you know, when I'd leave. I think two of the four cylinders worked. You know, and if I got them, those two babies going at once, I could chirp the tires. Anyway, so driving down the road, the wrong kind of music is on there. It was a hip hop song during the time. Wasn't Christian anything. It was just hip hop song, and had the radio on. I was 17 on the way to church. Amen. on the way to church. That's what I was doing, but God smote my heart. And he changed me. He said, I don't want this. I don't want this path. Turned it off. Never turned it back on. You know, God works in us. He changes us, doesn't he? I remember being at church camp and kids would be touched by God. And then suddenly at the end of the service, they're at the altar and they're weeping and they're throwing stuff to God. I mean, in their hearts, throwing it to God. And then after church, they'd start bringing stuff to me that shouldn't have been at camp, but it was there because they snuck it there, like these CD players. Remember those? It was like Dills, you know. Anyway, CD players aren't a thing anymore. I didn't even say cassette tapes, you know. So most of us know that, you know. Some of us are even more than that. Back in, anyway, CD brought me the CD player, brought me the CD, and it was awful, awful CD. You know, he said, get rid of this for me, and I was happy to do that, believe me. You know, so I've seen that. I remember hearing the amazing stories from the evangelists. Those of you who have heard a lot of preaching through the years, you remember those stories from the evangelists who'd get up and tell their story, and you're like, whoa. I mean, I heard a story of an evangelist who went to Bible college because he got saved, surrendered to be in the ministry the same service. Can you imagine that? Comes to the altar, gets saved, and then surrenders to be a pastor at the same time. So, amazing. And then decides to go to Bible college, which was like in a couple of weeks. So he gets saved, surrenders to be a pastor, and he's at Bible college in 2 weeks. He didn't know what any of the rules were. He didn't know anything about being a pastor. He didn't know anything about being a Christian. His hair was down to here. He had records. Now, if you can, you know, he's dating himself there. But anyway, he brought all these records. None of it gospel. It was all like rock and roll stuff. But he didn't know. He shows up. He starts showing all the Bible college students. Check this record out. This is cool. And they're like, you know, I can't believe you had that music. He didn't know. He's like, you're going to have to get a haircut. But you know what his heart was? To serve God. So he got a haircut, threw the records out. No turning back. Yes, Lord, yes. Whatever you want. Whatever your will is. Whatever your way is. Listen, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've heard about it. God wants it in your life. If you want to be what God wants you to be, then you have to be willing to strip some things out of your life and throw it in the dumpster. You have to. And that's what Israel is being challenged by God to do. Have you ever left something in the refrigerator too long? Go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
You're like, what's in the purple bowl? I don't know. It's been in there a long time. You're going to check it out? Maybe we shouldn't even open it. Let's throw the whole thing in the trash. And you're like, no, we got to figure it out. Open the bowl, and then that was a mistake. You're like, ooh, I'm not sure what that used to be, but we should name it. I think it's alive. What is this? And then you open it, and then the smell, the stench. I remember when I was in college, and only a college student could appreciate this story. Amen. By the way, I didn't finish my gorilla story this morning because it was nasty. Y'all asked me that after church. Anyway, it's similar to this one. So I left this spaghetti that my mom made for me, this leftover spaghetti in the car. It was July, and I left it in the car for all day long, but I was super hungry because I'm in college. I have no money. Like, remember when you're in college and you have no money and you would go out to eat and you would go to Mexican food because they'd give you chips and salsa for free, and then you would just order soup, you know, for like $3, but you'd eat all the chips that you could? Well, that was college. Anyway. I could eat 2 bean burritos at Taco Bell because it was $1.71 and I would get water. All I needed is $1.71. I would look under the chair for pennies so I could get 2 bean burritos. Anyway, so the spaghetti's in the car and I'm hungry, stomach's growling, and I remembered, oh yeah, spaghetti's in the car. And it's night, and I thought, well, it's okay. It's only been out there for a day. Yeah, July. Well, I got it, I opened it, I microwaved it, I ate it, and it came back later, okay? It was not good. It was not good. And that parallels that gorilla story we heard that I didn't tell you this morning. So, you know, there are those things that come into our life, and it's called sin. God says, I want you to get that sin out of your life. If you don't get that sin out of your life, it's going to stay in your life. It's going to sit around in your life, and it's going to rot, and it's going to make you sick. It's going to start making your stomach turn. It's going to start leading you down a path that's going to make life stink a little bit. Yeah. One of my kids recently asked his mom, he said, "Mom, can I get some ramen noodles?" What is there, like 10 different ways you can say this? Anyway. Noodles. Yeah, the noodles are the ones you know what I'm talking about, right? He didn't want the noodles. He wanted socks with ramen noodle design on it. Like, why? Not actually, I mean, like, why would you want that? You know, but anyway, like, okay. Weird to me, cool to the kids. So gave him the socks. And he's all about them. I won't tell you who it is. You can ask him after church. Anyway, but I am throwing him under the bus right now. But anyway, so it was like a week later, and Melissa said this: "You still have those socks on? You following me here?" So I was smelling something. I said, "What is that smell in here?" Okay. Socks on your feet multiple days. Not good. Not good, boys. Not good. Okay. And let's not just act like it's one of you. And you girls too, you're not innocent either. So I'm in trouble now. It reminds me, now listen, I'm losing y'all here. When I was in college and single, I worked with junior church, and I had a team of junior church workers, and loved working with the kids. We had a lot of, we really tried to reach out to bus kids, and had this one particular bus kid that I just really made effort to reach out to him. And so we had this bus activity at my house, not bus activity, it was kind of a youth activity at my house, sleepover sort of thing. We had several guys over, you know, a few other workers too in the house, and it was great fun. I mean, great fun, until the shoes came off. When the shoes came off, the party was over. You know, I'm like, "I'm going to bed. It's 8 o'clock. See ya." Door closed. I can't even be in the room. Like, I can't even be in there. Like, I'm gagging. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the night went fine. Maybe being a little bit, sarcastic and dramatic there, but I did go to bed early because it was awful. But the next day, took all the guys home, went home, laid on the couch, and one of the guys that I think his feet were the worst, he slept on the couch, and his feet were on this pillow that was on the couch, and that's where I put my head. And so I snuggled up to this pillow, and I realized this pillow needs to go to the dumpster. And so it did. That pillow went to the dumpster. Now I told you this story because I wanted you to get this. That's what our sin is in our life. Your sin in your life, when you let it stay around, it stinks. And it makes our life stink too. And what Moses and what God is challenging Israel: you're going to come into the land, and I'm going to give you great victory. It's going to be awesome. But for it to remain awesome and to be the life that I want you to have, and to have the promised land kind of victorious life, you're going to have to pull down the idols that are there. You're going to have to throw them in the dumpster, because they'll make your life stink if you don't. And when growing up, we had a trailer house, and I loved the trailer house. I had no problem with it. But every so often, things got under the trailer house. Those of you who've lived in a house like that, you know what I mean. Stuff gets under there. One time we had a pig under our house. Like, have you ever had that happen? A pig under your house. So we're like, okay, well, this is bad and good. Bacon, right? So, but it was under there. We had to figure out how to get it out. So we called the butcher. He drove his truck out, had this big winch on it, you know. I'm like, well, what's going to happen here? Little did I know the episode of this dramatic episode I was about to watch. He crawled under the house, somehow got this cord wrapped around its neck, cinched it down, and then just dragged that thing out from under the house. But he wasn't done yet. He just pulled it up. If you have weak stomachs, you might not like this, but he pulled that pig up, cut its throat right in the front yard, standing in the front window like, what is happening? I'm eating something, you know, I'm like, whoa, watching TV through the front windows, you know. But he wasn't done yet. Took his chainsaw out this long. Just cut the thing right down the middle, right in half. Yeah, that was under our house. We also had a skunk under our house. Now, we didn't call the butcher for that. You're not calling anybody to get a skunk under the house. You know what you do when you have a skunk under your house? You go to the hotel. And that's what we did. Listen, our life sometimes stinks because we have stuff in our life that needs to be out. It's in your home. You need to grab it or have somebody else grab it. It needs to be taken out of your home and thrown in the dumpster. And your life won't change and become what God wants it to be until you do that. That's what Moses is saying to the children of Israel. That is what God is saying to the children of Israel. You're going to be judged if you don't get this out of your life. Look at verse 55, and we're almost done. He says, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then he goes on and talks about pricks in your eyes, thorns in your side, vex you in the land. And then he says, and I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. He says, you need to get this out of your life. Listen to what one writer said. Many churches years ago had mourners' benches. Aren't you glad that Brother Glazeman built these mourners' benches in here? So we don't fit into the category of what this guy's writing. He says, years ago, churches had mourners' benches, but we still do. He goes on and he says this. He says, today we want God's blessings without the pain of God's purging. Let that sink in for a minute. I'll say it again. He says, today we want God's blessings without the pain of God's purging. We want sermons on how to win friends, how to have peaceful minds, and how to forget our fears. But we must remember that Christ came to make men good rather than to merely make men feel good. Sometimes we need to get to the altar and we need to let God clean house. You know what some of us need tonight? We need a house cleaning tonight. We're not on fire. Set my soul afire, God. Well, He wants to. We got a clean house because it stinks right now. The last story I want to tell you. Christmas, a couple of years ago, we went to my aunt's and she has all these cats. Okay, now, I don't know how you feel about cats, but I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm not a fan. Anyway, so we went to the house. Now, I'm not allergic to cats, but everybody else in my family is. Are you allergic to cats? No, Caleb and me were the only ones. I think everybody else. Yeah, so Caleb and me, we're not afraid of cats. Well, I may be afraid of some cats, but I'm not allergic to them. So anyway, everybody else in my family, 10 minutes in the house, can't breathe. You know, it's Christmas, and everybody's sitting out on the porch the whole day because of these cats, you know. So what's the moral of the story? Get rid of the cats. Amen?
Amen.
Get rid of the cats. Amen? That's the title. That's the third subtitle of my sermon. Get rid of the cats. No, really. Life's going to be miserable if you don't get sin out of your life. You're going to have the proverbial asthma attack almost every day because you won't get it out of your life. Why is it so tough, Pastor? It's not as tough as you're making it out to be. Listen, it would be a lot easier if you just say yes to the Lord. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to get it out of your life. Listen, we need to clean our house, but I don't want to. Well, then you're going to keep suffering. Because the pricks in the eyes. Listen, the pricks in your eyes. That's what happens to me when I get... I'm allergic to horses, though. That's a bummer, isn't it? I'm allergic to horses, and it just... my eyes swell up. When I saw pricks in the eyes, that's what I thought of. That's how I feel when I'm around horses. My wife's eyes, his eyes. Grant, he's really bad with cats. You know, and so what does God want us to do? Listen, it's time to clean house. The pricks in the eyes will be there. the suffering's going to be there. So what do we need to do? We need to get to the altar, and we need to say yes to the Lord. And it's easy to do for others. It's hard to do for ourselves. But if you want to have the blessing of the promised land living, then you're going to have to be willing to pay or suffer the pain of the purge. It has to happen. And so if God's touched you tonight, let me encourage you to come. It's worth it. Father, we thank you that you have helped us with this thought as we consider the purge that you have commanded your people to follow through with as it relates not only to the people of the land who would acquire that kind of judgment, but the idols, the false gods, the things that end up in our homes, Lord, as I consider the maybe some programs that need to be deleted, some music needs to be removed from our phones and replaced, video games. It's just a host of things. FaceTime on our cell phones. Lord, I just pray as you work in the hearts of your people tonight that we would be willing to make some changes. I feel that there are some things we're viewing, there's some things that we're seeing, there's some things that we're engaging in that is pulling us down, making our life stink. Pray you'd help us to delete those things tonight, please. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.